it means, but it means something. Amen. Oh, it's a lowly worker. You're right. That's right. All right. Get your Bible, turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, if you have your Bible. Psalm 22, if you have your Bible. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about who let the dogs out. And you say, preacher, why would you say such a thing? Because it's in the Bible. Amen. It'd shock you what's in the Bible if you just read it sometimes. Amen. Every year you'll read your Bible through. Every year. And you'll, every time you read it, some new stuff. It's nothing new, but to you it'll be new. Psalm 22. Now, years ago I picked out this title. I preached this sermon several times, but it never comes out the same. And the first time I preached it, Tony Green was my music director, and he was the children's director. And he got laughing so hard, he couldn't breathe. Y'all have to know Tony. He weighs about 1,000 pounds. And he's a big fella. He's a big fella. And he likes to have a good time. Well, he laughed so hard he was crying. And he's sitting up on the front crying and laughing at the same time while I was preaching. And years later, he got a church in Iowa, in Sioux City, Iowa, and he asked me to come preach that sermon. I told him, I said, Brother Tony, that's not a sermon you can just preach it exactly the same way. I don't even know some of the stuff I said. I mean, he said, well, come do the best you can. So I went up there, and those Yankees, I'm sorry, Midwesterners loved it. They loved it. They went wild. And one of them recorded it and sent it all over the country. All kind of people started sending me requests for that message. This is not that message. I can't do that message again. If the Lord gets in on it, it'll be just as good. But anyway, I want to show you a little bit. Part of my job as pastor is to warn people. It's not... Now, I have pastors call me to preach funerals for their church members because they say that's what I do well. And I say, well, I just do what I would want done to me. And I have pastors to call me to do weddings for their church members, which I don't know why. I've never done a wedding I didn't mess up. But they'll call me to do that. And but my job is to comfort, is to encourage, and it's to convict, and it's to convert, but it's also to cry aloud and spare not. Amen. Amen, wise woman there. And but people aren't used to that anymore. When you preach things like this, they get upset, they get mad, and they say, I didn't know preachers were like that. And I said, well, you just hadn't ever met a real preacher. You met a jackleg somewhere, you know. And they don't even use that term anymore. Psalm 22. Start with verse 14. This is the crucifixion of Christ prophesied in advance. If you read this, you're reading what he was saying and felt on the cross there. I'm going to start with verse 14. You read the whole chapter 22. And he says, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Now think, this is Christ hanging on the cross. Now this is prophesied in advance, but this is the way he felt. For dogs have compassed me with the assembly of the wicked and have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. And I figure if it's good enough for him to talk about it, it's good enough for us to talk about it. Amen? Amen, I do. Amen. A popular song years ago that the Georgia Bulldogs adopted that you really don't want to hear. It was a rap song, I think. It said, "Who Let the Dogs Out?" And it had a good idea about it because it was talking about the same thing that we're just about ready to be talking about. Who let the dogs out? And of course, they turned that around. The Georgia Bulldogs turned that around and made that their theme song. And every time the Georgia Bulldogs would come out onto the field, they'd start playing and singing, who let the dogs out? And I got to thinking about that one day, and I thought, well, the Bible's full of things about dogs. But it's never a complimentary thing. Never. Not in the Bible. Now, I know some of you dog lovers, you eat with them, sleep with them, clothe them, put sweaters on them and boots on them and got little pet names for them. But biblically, there is no positive scripture that I can find you about dogs. I remember one night my wife and I and Darlene, she's not here now, she lives up in Pennsylvania, a elderly lady had visited our church, so we went to visit her. She lived way out where the nuclear plant is in a mobile home and a nice place, you know. We pulled up there and we went in and I've got sinus problem real bad. So automatically I knew there was a dog somewhere in that house. And but so we sat down and we begin to talk to this lady. And this little old dog looked like it was a mongrel, but you know, she said it was some kind of breed, you know, they all are, you know. And it was about that tall, and it kind of looked like a poodle, but it kind of looked like a little feist dog, you know. And that little dog just crawled all over us, a hair fly everywhere, you know. It's all I could do not to cough and hack the way I do, you know. And so I'm talking to her, my wife's talking to her. Well, Darlene thinks her job to take care of the dog, to keep it busy. So the dog gets up in her lap, you know, and she's just coo 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 that dog, you know, and coo 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 coo, and it just goes on and on. It was sickening. And then finally, we're about to go. And she tells that lady, she said, "Mrs. So-and-so," whatever her name was, she said, "Mrs. So-and-so, I love your dog. Could I take your dog home with me?" And she said, "Lord, no, that's the only baby I got. You can't have my dog." And she just smiled real big at the dog, and the dog reached up and licked her right across the teeth, just all the way across there. And she just smiled and said, "That was so sweet, that dog. Give me sugar." And we got out into the car, and as we were sitting in the car, I broke loose laughing so hard I was crying. I said, "Darlene, that dog licked you across the teeth." She said, "Oh, wasn't he so sweet?" I said, "No, it was a dog." She said, "But it was so sweet, it just gave me sugar." I said, "Did he lick you with his tongue?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Darlene, what else has he licked with that tongue?" She said, "He was clean." I said, "How do you think he got clean?" And she had a Mountain Dew sitting beside her like all good rednecks. She had a Mountain Dew sitting over there, and she opened that thing up, swished it around her mouth, rolled down the window, spit it out the window. I said, "You didn't get it off." Now, we make dogs out to be something they really are not, you know. And we've all had pets. And I don't have anything against your dog. I've had a lot of them. But my last one, I buried that big Labrador that weighed 110 pounds and was 15 years old and got run over by a neighbor. And I buried that dog myself in my backyard. And it was like burying a human being. And I did something I thought I'd never do. I laid down beside that grave and cried like a baby in the rain. And I said, "I'll never have another dog, because I've outlived too many dogs and I don't want to do this again. But I'm getting old. I'm thinking I might be able to have another one. He might be able to outlive me." But the Bible really has no favorable things to say about a dog. Now, there's all kind of animals mentioned in the Bible. You don't have to turn there, but it's not where you are there. Psalm 22 talks about the bulls of Bashan. That means strong men. The Bible talks about the devil walking about as a roaring lion. That's the devil. The dog talks about Gentiles as being dogs and being outside the gates and being filthy and being impure and being worthless and being scavengers. And in Philippians 3:2, the Apostle Paul is warning the believers, beware of dogs. And he wasn't talking about the dog, he was talking about human beings. So the dogs and animals are mentioned in the Bible. And you need to stop and think about things while you're reading the Bible. But he said, beware of dogs. Now, he wasn't talking about German shepherds, though you might better be. He wasn't talking about Rottweilers, though you might better be. I went to a house one day, and I was just knocking on doors, and I knocked way up in York when I was at Blessed Hope. And I was knocking on doors, and I knocked on this door. And it sounded like somebody was in there, but they wouldn't come to the door. And then after I knocked about the third time, I heard sounded like the back door open. And as I stepped down off the porch and looked around, there comes a pit bull and a Rottweiler as hard as they can go right at me. And I outran them to the car. And I slammed that door just as they slammed it them on the other side. I've never been so scared of dogs. And I've been bit on the ankles by chihuahuas. And we even had one time, and I don't have much use for dogs other than being guard dogs. But the Bible does talk about dogs. But when it compares people to dogs, it must be a bad thing. You could never say that was a good thing to be compared to a dog as a human being. Amen? Right. And no matter how much you love your dog, what your relationship might be with your dog, biblically speaking, we don't compare people to dogs, but God does. And so I thought about a few things about these dogs that the Bible talks about. Now, I started to preach on, I had another sermon, I titled it, Some Dogs I Have Known. And I named names, buddy. Some dogs I have known. See, I'm 63. I've been preaching since I was 23. I'm not scared anymore. I'll call names. This lady came to my church one time. She was a sophisticated lady. And she was sophisticated. And her husband started coming. By the way, they were from Chester, South Carolina. Chester. You knew they were sophisticated because when I asked them where they're from, they said, we're from Chester, South Carolina. They say Chester like the rest of us rednecks. And so she came, and I named names that day. And after it was over, she said, I need to talk to you. I said, what about? She said, about your sermon. I said, now, I'm going to tell you something. You're new, and I don't usually talk to people about my sermons. That's my policy. I don't discuss my sermons, talk to God about my sermons. He gave it to me. You talk to Him. But since you're new and you're from a different kind of church, maybe I can help you a little bit. So we went in my office, and she said, I got a problem. I said, what's that? She said, in your preaching, you called names of preachers. I said, somebody needs to point them out. She said, but I've never seen a pastor do that. I said, you've never met a pastor. I said, the shepherd is supposed to point out the wolves. And I pointed out the wolves today, and one of them just happened to be your pet. And I'm sorry that he's a wolf. Amen? Amen. So I preached on some dogs I have known. But tonight, I want to talk to you about, just tone that down just a little bit, and I want to talk to you about some dogs that have been turned loose on God's people. Now, when you got saved, the devil put a target on your back. He doesn't like you. He never did like you. He just gave you what you wanted to keep you away from God. Now you're saved, and now it's his job to discourage you, to stop you, to do whatever he has to do for God not to get glory from you, even though you're going to heaven. So, I got to think about that. I thought about this. If you will, turn to Revelation 22:15. And the family across the street today has decided to share their burnt leaves with us. And I can smell them. I don't know if y'all can or not, but we'll just endure to the end anyway. Amen. Revelation 22:15. For without, now he's talking about the city of God, talking about heaven. Let's just start verse 14 to show you. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right of the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, he's not talking about physical dogs, because physical dogs do not have a spirit life like we do. They live and they die. That's it. And I know you think all dogs go to heaven, but they don't. They're mortal beings. They are not immortal. They don't have a soul like we do. And when they die, that's the end of them. God created them for man. He didn't create them for them to go to heaven. So they're not. So undoubtedly, he's talking about the city of God now. And he says dogs. So he must be talking about some people or a class of people, just like the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the liars, and they're unclean, ungodly people. Now, I know this is not popular, and I know not everybody's going to like it, but there are some sickening people. There are some sickening people. That man that killed that boy down there in Lancaster this past week and chopped him up and burned him and hid him up under pieces of trash, that is a dog. That is a sickening individual. He is as low as a human being is ever going to go. Now, the devil turns people like that loose on those of us who want to live right, who want to obey God. And by the way, when was the last time you heard somebody say, "I'm trying to live right"? Amen. And look, the devil's turned some people loose against the church. I thought about the media today. The media, the newspapers, the TV news, the radio news, the internet news, they hate God's people. They hate God's church. They blaspheme us. They ridicule us. They mock us. They make fun of us. They will destroy us. If they had it in their power, they would do it. They would shut down every church. They would shut up every preacher, every Sunday school teacher. They'd stop every witness of Christ because they don't like what we have to say. Right. Amen? And look, the world and the devil has turned the media loose on us. Did you know that people all over this town can do anything they want to and pretty well never get their name in the paper, but you let some poor Christian or some preacher or some Sunday school teacher, some deacon fall or fail and get in a little bit of trouble, and don't sit there and act like that never would you be you, it might be you next week. And the media will have that thing on the front page. Have it on the front page. And you let some church fail or fall, or the leadership fail or fall, and they will put it on every newscast and every internet cast and in every paper in this nation. The church probably didn't have 25 people, and even at that, they still want to destroy God's church and God's people. When that man called me on the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, and that was just a few years ago, he called me on the reporter. He said, "We're doing an article in the newspaper to celebrate the 400th year of the King James Bible. And I want to talk to you about that." The first thing came to my mind is, how did you get my name? The next thing came to my mind is, and I asked him, "Are you going to make me look stupid?" Really, think about it. Usually, they put a preacher, a pastor, or something in the paper, they'll turn his words and twist him. I said, "Are you going to take my words and make me look like some bumbling idiot, illiterate, uneducated, no Bible knowledge?" He said, "No, I'm not going to do that." I said, "Then you're an unusual newspaper reporter." And he didn't do it. He did a favorable report, but everybody else was afraid to talk to him. I said, "Why did you call me?" He said, "Because every other pastor we talked to said, call you." And that's the truth. either they didn't believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God, or they didn't know enough about it to discuss it, or either they were afraid if they did that the media would make them look like ignorant. Yeah. They would make them look like what most Northerners think we are. So the media has been turned loose on our faith, has been turned loose on what we believe and what we practice. Just this past week, there's been voting going on in Colombia over abortions. Now, the media makes it look like that the people that are against abortion because of biblical reasons are idiots and that they're stupid and that we don't know enough about science. Here's what we know. A baby was conceived by God. God allowed that to happen. And that baby needs to be born. And if mama don't want it, she can give it up. There's a lot of people waiting to adopt babies. Instead, they want to kill that baby. And then you and I, we jump up and we say, no, every person has a right to life. Everyone has a right to be born, and the baby is the only one you're not giving a voice to. You talk to the mama, you talk to the doctors, you talk to the scientists. Why don't you ask the baby what he thinks about it? He'd say, let me be born. The media is like a pack of dogs, and they're just going and going and going and going and going all the time looking for something to make fun of us. And then number two, turn to Proverbs 26:11. If that lady keeps burning her leaves across the street, we're going to have to pray it rains. People don't have any dignity anymore. Used to be on Sunday, I didn't grow up in church. But my mama would let you do anything on Sunday. You couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't do anything, you couldn't buy anything. And now you come to church on Sunday, they're cutting grass, they're burning leaves, everything else. But anyway, and I've witnessed to her and begged her to come over here. Proverbs 26:11. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returneth to his vomit. Get that picture? You ever seen that? Have you ever seen anything else ever do that? No. I've never seen anything else do that. And as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, the point being that the poor old dog is so dumb, he'll throw up his breakfast and turn around and eat it for lunch. Yeah. He's not the smartest animal in the woods, you know that, don't you? And he'll throw up, and we go, ooh, nasty. But you know, it goes right on and says, a foolish person is just like that. They'll get into something, and it'll just about ruin them. And they'll throw it off. And a little bit later, you think, boy, they're on the straight and narrow now. They're going to be okay. They go right back to what made them sick in the first place. Yeah. Come on, help me. Well, you know, this old world and the criticizers of God's work and God's way and our Savior and our Lord, those silly people. And I'm going to just go ahead and throw this in here. And I've been thinking about this for several days. Politicians. Politicians, recently we've seen this, politicians are a lot like dogs. They're foolish. They will get the church, the people of the church, they'll come to our churches, they'll call our churches, they'll court our pastors and our leadership to get the membership to vote for them. And then as soon as we get them voted in, they turn right around and go back to the slop they came out of and leave us alone. Amen. Oh, I'm pro-life too. And as soon as the election's over, they vote pro-death. Come on now. Yeah. Oh, I'm pro-anti-drug too. And the election's over, about a year later, they make deals and wheeling and dealing and all that. And the church never gets consulted again.
Right, come on.
They'll put out polls to you as believers. They will. They'll send you a poll in email or on Facebook or even in the mail. And they'll want to know your opinion on this and this and this. And they already know your answers. It's not that they agree with you. It's just that they want to get in touch with you. And they want to have a link with you. And they want you to donate some money. And by the way, every time they send me a letter want me to donate money, I send them a letter back and say, I vote. I don't have to send you any money. I'm voting for you. Get somebody else to finance you. Amen? Yeah. But they don't send me any money. How many of y'all ever got a check in the mail from President Trump? I'm not talking about that rebate to get you back on your taxes. But these silly politicians and silly people, they will leave the sickening things that are destroying them and hurting them, and they'll run to the local church, and they'll beg the local church, the people in the church, to help them, to help them get right, to help them get right with God, to win this, to do that. And then just as soon as they get on the straight and narrow, and we think we've done our job, and we feel real good about it, that stinking dog turns around and goes right back to the vomit that we picked them up out of. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me awful quiet. And I know. But look, that's like a dog. A fool and a dog are a whole lot alike. Amen. I'm getting somewhere. Hang on there, okay? Look at, if you will, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Come on, I'm going to get on your pet peeve in a minute. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You ever felt like you were just wasting your time talking to somebody? That's what he's talking about. I mean, now, there's been three or four families in that house over there since we moved here, and I go see all of them and invite them to church, and one of them did come, and I went to visit them, and I gave them my testimony, and then I went around the room and told them how I was born again and everything. And I looked at the wife. She didn't come to church that day. He did, the husband. And I said, have you ever been born again? She said, I've never heard anything like that in my life. I said, well, did you grow up in church? Yeah. I said, where you go to church now? She said, right over yonder. I said, and you've never heard that? She said, no. And then I asked his daughter, and she said, no, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. And then I get to the man that came, and I asked him, I said, well, sir, you're the husband, you're the father and all. Have you ever been born again? Yeah. But they don't need to be born again because they're mine. And they were born saved because I'm saved. I said, sir, I know I'm in your house and all, and I don't want to make you mad or anything, but you're wrong. You're just wrong. God don't have any grandchildren. I said, they must be born again also. He said, you got a bunch of old women over there that you're scaring to death. That's what he said. That you're scaring to death. And said, they'll do anything you want them to, but I ain't scared of you. I said, I didn't come over here for you to be scared of me. I come over here to try to help you if I can. He said, well, we don't need your help. He said, they're going to heaven because I'm going to heaven. And he said, I used to do all this stuff you're doing. I used to read my Bible through every year. I used to go to church every service and all the extra services. I'd go out on visitation. I led people to Christ until I figured it out. I don't have to do that. I said, no, you don't have to do that, but your children must be born again. Your wife must be born again. He said, no, they don't. They're mine. And then his son, who just got back from Iraq, I think he had some problems, he come from another room. And he said, you just better shut up. He said, I'll burn your church down. I said, what did you say? He said, I'll pray fire down on your church and it'll burn up. I looked that boy with me. I said, let's go. That boy didn't want to get up. The boy with me, he wanted to keep talking. I said, you're wasting your breath. You're wasting your breath. I said, you're casting your pearl before the swines. This man has ruined these people, and we can't help them. And I walked out that door, and I did something I ain't never done. I went. And he laughed at me. He said, I know what you're doing. You're brushing the dust off your feet. I said, I'm doing exactly what Jesus said to do. And I walked across the street, and me and that boy, I came over here in the front yard, and they were still outside hollering at us. And I said, let's pray. And we got down, and we started praying for them. And while we were praying, they were mocking us and making fun of us for praying. That's the kind of dogs he's talking about. Foolish people. Foolish people. I was lost, on my way to hell. I wouldn't even tell you some of the things I did when I was lost and on my way to hell. But I would never do something like that to a child of God trying to keep me out of hell. That's doggish behavior. Amen? That's foolish behavior. And listen, this country's full of them. I walked up to a door one day not long ago over here close to the cemetery. And I was going through the neighborhood and I knocked on the door and they had one of those glass doors. And when I walked up, this, and I'm going to use this word, I'm going to have to stretch it real hard to use it. This woman came to the door. Hair about that long. You know, one of them. Yeah. What do you want? I said, I'm the pastor down here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. I'd like to talk to you a few minutes. I'd just like to invite you to church if I could. She said, go to. Slammed the door. I can't. That's what I hollered at the door. I said, I can't, I'm saved. Walked off and left her. Hey, if she wants to go to hell, that's her prerogative. She can do anything she wants to. But she don't have to act like a stinking dog on her way to hell. Amen? She reminded me of that Rottweiler come running around the side of that house. Big old. There's all kind of words. There's all kind of words I could use, but I can't do it standing up here. Amen. Listen. Look at Isaiah 56:10. Y'all not listening fast enough. Now I'm going to get to the part y'all like. Isaiah 56:10. You still with me? You're not mad at me, are you? That's okay if y'all are. I've been mad. I made worse than you mad. Amen. Amen. I'd like to tell her what I thought about her, but the Lord wouldn't let me. Isaiah 56:10 says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs that cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down. Loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Now you listen to me. The old devil's turned some preachers and evangelists and pastors loose on our churches and on our people. And that word dumb dog, that word means can't hear, can't speak, I mean. That word dumb means they're saying nothing. Amen. They're talking. But they're not saying anything. Come on, help me. You ever been to church and you sat through a service when you got through, somebody said, what did the preacher preach about? You said, I ain't got a clue. He didn't say nothing. He just talked and talked and talked and talked, but he didn't say anything. Amen? And there's been a bunch of these dogs turned loose on our churches. And look, you can blame the Democrats, you can blame the Republicans, you can blame anybody you want to. But it is the pulpit of America that is destroying America. Come on now. Used to be, when you went to church, you expected a preacher that would cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice, show thy people their sins. Amen? That's what you expected to hear. You didn't expect to hear a little sermonette by a little preacherette that led you out to the kitchenette so you could smoke you a little cigarette. I'm going to say it right here. I ain't said it in a long time. nickel nipping, penny pinching, soft soaping, ear tickling, back scratching, panty waist preachers. On the pink tea and lemonade. Don't say anything. He said his watchmen are blind. They don't see anything. You know why they're not warning you? They're so worldly and carnal minded, they don't see it themselves. The day that this church has a beer and Bible study will be a cold day. Where the booger man's going, I tell you that right now. You say, they do that? Yes, sir. There's a place right across Northwestern High School has them all the time. You can go over there and get sodded and read the Bible at the same time. The day a person stands in this pulpit and she's a she and thinks she's a he, or he's a he that thinks she's a she, it'll be a cold day that day. Amen. I'll be dead. Because I'll get up and knock them out myself. They ain't no. Hey, let me tell you something. We have a whole nation full of dumb dogs they cannot bark.
Amen.
There's a church right over here. I ain't going to tell you where it's at because some of you's been there. And their pastor died. And they went through two or three pastors. And they got a little boy, their youth pastor. He got up there and he began to preach. And their church had already gone from 500 or 600 down to 150. And two of the deacons took over the church. And they let that little boy preach. And he got up and he preached and he said something against Mormonism. And one of those deacons got up after he was through and said, "Don't you ever do that again. We'll fire you if you talk about Mormons. My daughter's a Mormon." So a few weeks later, he slipped up and done it again. And at the end of the service, those two deacons got up at the end of the service, escorted him out of the pulpit and out the door and said, "We'll send you a check." Another one right here on Main Street. Been several years ago now. But the pastor had a fiery passion. You know, old Baptist church, been around a long time. Started mission churches all over this town in its day. And he preached against hell. And another time he mentioned hell. And another time he talked about people going to hell. And so the deacons called him into office one day and said, "Look, you're going to have to quit preaching on this hell. All you ever do is talk about people going to hell. And from now on, we want a written copy of your sermon before you preach it so we can approve it." I'd have walked out right then. And he did it for several weeks, and then the last Sunday he was there, his last sermon, he didn't do it. He came in with his resignation and he put it in the back of his pulpit and he preached against hell, hot and heavy. And when it was over, the deacons got up and said, "You're fired." He said, "I'm not fired. I quit." And gave him the resignation and walked out. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad he wasn't a dumb dog. Amen. Amen. Listen, these people, that these preachers, they're greedy. It says, "Yea, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough." Nah, it's going to get touchy right here, brother. When these TV preachers come on television and they say, "God has told me to buy a jet airplane and for you to pay for it. If you help him pay for it, you're the dumb dog." Amen? Amen? He ain't even doing a real good job where he's at. Why would anybody else want him to come? Greedy, greedy. I've known pastors in this town. By the way, I've preached in a lot of places and I've had to pay my own way many times. I'm not trying to get pity or respect out of that. I'm just telling you, I went places and paid my own way there and paid my own way back and paid my, just to preach and get to help people. I mean, I preached in West Virginia. What do you think? One of the best places I ever preached, man. That place was packed every night. They about shouted me out. And but these guys, the moment the church starts falling off, by the way, it's falling off, it's their fault.
Right.
Say amen, Dan, right there. Do they preach like this in California? No. No. I'm just telling you. But the moment the attendance falls off and the offerings go down, they start sending out the resume. And it won't be long, that guy's going to say, "God." You know, You ever notice they like to say God? God has called me to another field. What it is the devil has offered them more money somewhere else. Amen? Amen. I can tell you, some of y'all getting nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. Amen. Did you know there's some dogs in the church? There's some dogs in. Now, there's some big dogs. Apostasy. That's a big dog. That's where the churches are going into unbelief. They don't believe the Bible anymore. They'll tell you they don't. They don't believe in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. If you don't believe me, ask them. They'll tell you. They're not ashamed of it. And now they're getting women preachers. And now they're getting people that don't know if they're men or women preachers. And now they're having homosexual wedding ceremonies. And they're just getting farther and farther away from the truth. That's called apostasy. That's a big dog nowadays. That's really going on a lot. And false teaching, all kind of false teaching going on. There's another dog, people who steal God's money. That's a big deal nowadays. They steal God's money. Either they get in a position where they can steal the money, siphon it off a little bit at the time, and we know a little bit about those, don't we, sis? And they siphon it off a little bit at a time. Or I'm going to throw another one on you. Some of you ain't going to like it. When you don't tithe, you're stealing God's tithe when you spend it on something else. That's a big thing now. They'll vote a pastor out for preaching on tithe. That's a big thing going on. That's another big dog. Amen. Adultery. Adultery in the churches. Homosexuality. Let me tell you something. The pastor, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, church leadership should... Now, nobody's perfect. But we... or that are in leadership positions, we should try to be above things. Amen? Now, they've lowered themselves down. They've lowered all the standards. They've lowered all the expectations of people that serve God. And now, because of that, ignorant people who don't know anything about the Bible are jumping up and they're saying, well, if they can do it, I can serve Him too. And they can't. I'm not saying we're elitist or something. I'm just saying... they don't live good enough to serve God. God won't use a dirty vessel. Amen? And of all the people in the church, these big dogs are... I'm not going to call names, but recently I've heard the name of a pastor that had resigned because he admitted he's a homosexual. Baptist pastor. Recently, one of the world-famous Southern gospel singers has lost his ministry because he came out of the closet. He has a wife and children, and he came out of the closet, and he announced that he's not ashamed of being a sodomite. That's a big dog that'll destroy your church right there. Amen? Come on. You start letting that stuff happen, I'll tell you what, your church will go down the tube real quick. And then... everybody agrees that these are dogs. Everybody agrees that. Bunch of dogs. Bunch of just filthy people. Amen? But then I got things. You know, there's other things than big dogs. You ever had a chihuahua? I hate chihuahuas. I'll go ahead and write it down somewhere. I hate chihuahuas. We had one. That dog, I had to wait till it died of old age. I hated that dog every day of its life. On your ankle. You turn your back on it. On your ankle. You turn around and look at it. Go, phew. Little coward. Stinking little coward. So German Shepherd go down the road. That dog go behind that German Shepherd. Biting that German. As soon as that German Shepherd turn around. Ping. One day I looked out there, the neighbor's German Shepherd had the dog in his mouth. He done got tired of it. He was sideways, carrying him down the road. I hear him now. I'm getting rid of this aggravating dog. Amen. Our church has got a lot of chihuahuas in them. Oh, sorry, backbiters, gossipers, slanders. "Oh, Brother Ron, you're such a wonderful man. I'm glad you preach and you're doing a good job." And as soon as you turn your back, "Did you hear about Brother Ron? Did you hear about his wife?" Now, I don't gossip, so don't tell nobody what I'm fixing to tell you. I told him I wouldn't tell. Destroy a church. I'm the last one to know anything in this church. But I'm going to tell you something. We ain't having that.
Amen.
I don't like chihuahuas. If we get anything, we're going to get a big old German Shepherd, 110-pound Labrador. We're not getting a little... I'd rather have a man stand toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose with me and tell a lie on me and argue with me than some backbiter get behind me or you.
Come on now.
Yep. Yeah, who let that dog out? It'll get squashed here. Amen, Deacon?
Amen.
We've squashed a few around here, haven't we? We didn't have to have no vote on it. We just squashed them. Done. Dead. Get out of here. I thought about another dog, those little poodles. Ladies, you ought not do it. A poodle really a hunting dog. Did you know that? And you take a good hunting dog and you make it effeminate and make it a cross dresser. Put a little bow in his hair. Cut his little belly, his little feet. You know, but the thing about poodles, they're kind of envious. And they're strifeful. They won't get along with other dogs. And they're unforgiving. They won't forget. And you know, there's a lot of little dogs like that in the churches today. I mean, I better go on. I can tell I'm losing some of you. You ever seen that little dog? They call them terriers. That could be anything from something that big to that big, you know, a little bit bigger. But they're kind of like a chihuahua, but a little bit bigger, you know, and a whole lot meaner. They're mean-spirited. They're selfish. We used to have one. That dog would get up in the bed with us and go under the cover and sleep right there. And I would kick it out on the floor. And 5 minutes later, it would be back up there, and I'd say, "You stupid dog, do you not understand? I don't like you." And I'd kick him out. And we got those in the church. Mean-spirited, hurt people, and you look at them, and they'll say, "Pastor Ron, you're the best preacher I've ever had. Pastor Ron, I love you." And then start a campaign on the phone to get rid of me. "Did you hear Brother Dan miss that note today?" I don't know why the preacher would put somebody from California up there. Mean. That dog's like that getting your church. But they're so pretty, they're little and they're nice. They got short hair, they don't shed much. They don't eat much. And they'll sneak in your church and that dog will prop him out of pew, or she will. And you better not sit in that pew. We had a preacher like that one time. He come to me, he said, no. He went to, there was a visiting pastor and his wife and children here from New York. Of all people, we don't want to offend a New York Yankee. I mean, it's so hard. And that guy who says he's a preacher and a pastor, he went to that man and there... It was on Sunday night. Plenty of room. That man came to me. That pastor came to me. He said, "You know that fellow that led your song?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "He told me and my wife we were in his seat and then we had to move." I said, "His name on that pew." I said, "I'd looked him in the eye and say, go get you another seat."
Amen.
You ever been in church where they got name tags on everything? Everything. They got name tags on it. I'd pull them all off. You're going to put a name on there, put Jesus on there. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, you can't sit there. That's my seat. But I love you. You lying hypocrite. Amen. Amen.
No, I got visitors. They'll never be back down here.
Listen, somebody has let the dogs out. He ain't mad. He loves me. Somebody's let the dogs out on local church. Let me tell you something, Sister Springs. The devil doesn't like you. He ain't liked you since the day you accepted the Lord. And he's been after you ever since. And he has sent bulldogs, and he has sent German shepherds, and he sent Rottweilers, and he sent Fices and poodles and everything else to try to stop you. And if you'll let that old devil, he'll find a dog that'll stop you. But you know what I do? I just kick them in Jesus' name. Tell you where to go. You ain't going to heaven. The Bible says you're outside the gate. Amen.
Philippians 3:2, and I'll quit. Philippians 3:2. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision, those that divide and make trouble. He says, beware, beware, beware. If you don't beware, most of you have been in churches earlier that people have destroyed. Some of these dogs I'm talking about have destroyed those churches. And people will get mad at me because I want to call attention to it and try to stop it before it gets started. But let me ask you something. If I called attention to cancer before it ate you and that nose off, would you get mad at me? Well, Pat, I'm just not used to people calling people dogs. I didn't. God did.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Yeah. Well, I'm not used to people calling names. Well, somebody needs to do it. I'm the shepherd here. Amen. I'm no better than you are. I'm not as smart as a lot of people in here. I'm not even the best Christian in here. I'm not the most intelligent person in here. But I'm the pastor. I'm the shepherd. God put me here to watch this little flock. And the flock's growing. And look, of all people, I would expect the shepherd to run the dogs off.
Amen.
You know, a pack of dogs, Holroyd's got cows, him and his son. Did you know a pack of dogs can bring a cow down and kill it? There's wild dogs. I used to live in a place where I grew up, woods all around us. There were wild dogs that lived in those woods. And we'd find deer in the woods where those dogs had jumped on those deers and killed that deer and eat it. Now, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. I'm the under-shepherd. And when I see dogs coming, I'm going to cut them off before they get to you.
Amen.
And if they get past me, you need to help. Now, I think good about everybody. I think everybody is for the church. I think everybody is for the Lord. I think everybody's for good things. I think everybody likes me. I know that's dumb to think that. And I really do. And I want people to. But sometimes my wife will come to me. And your wife's one of these. She'll say, keep your eye on that one. You do that, don't you? No. I'm talking about some hussy. They have hussies in California. But they say it in Spanish or Mexican or something. La Cabochita or something. I don't know Spanish. I live in America. I don't have to know Spanish. But my wife say, you know, you've probably done it yourself. Watch out for that. That's a Jezebel there. And I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it. So I'll say, you keep an eye on her. Well, I don't know what she's talking about. But I can tell you this, if a crooked preacher walks in here, I can point him out. If a lying Sunday school teacher comes, takes up position in here, I can point it out. If some lost deacon comes in here and takes, I can tell you about it. But I can't tell you everything. People will call you at your house, won't call me. Did y'all know people do that to the pastor? You know what you need to do? You need to say, you need to talk to the pastor. You don't need to be talking to me. I can't do nothing about it. You need to call him. And this is what they'll say. Well, And if it's a woman, you need to say, you need to call Miss Terry, his pastor's wife. Talk to her. They'll say, not going to do that. You know why? It's dog time. It's dog time. Those people will destroy your family. They will destroy your children. They will destroy your grandchildren. They'll destroy your church. And if possible, they will destroy you. Watch them dogs. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you think I'm mean. And if you, hey, look, if you don't know anything about the Bible, you've been watching Joel Osteen, you've just had a cultural experience. But I'm telling you the truth. Watch them dogs. Ladies, look up here at me, ladies. If you got a husband, the devil's already got some hussy out there right now. You better watch them dogs. Same thing with you fellas. There's some old sweet-talking Romeo out there right now. Watch them dogs. Watch your children. I never let my children go to anybody's house that I didn't know very well. Watch them dogs. They'll destroy your children. And then watch yourself. Everybody that says I'm your friend is not your friend. Some of them stinking dogs. And they want to bring you down. They will not lift you up. And look, here's the dumbest thing a sheep ever said. I'm going to bring them up. I'm going to make a sheep out of that dog. No. They're going to make you look like a dirty dog is what they're going to do. Watch them dogs. Now he told me to cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice. But he told you, he said, you be on lookout because the devil is as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You better watch it. Now, I'm warning you, the day we live in, we better watch it. Now if you're not saved, you know what you need to do. Those dogs already got you. They've already got you. You're already doomed. You're already damned. You're already judged. You need a Savior. And I wouldn't let some smooth-talking dog talk me out of Jesus. I'd get to Him as quick as I could because you need a Savior. Amen? Unusual, I know. I think, you know what I think? I think we'll lock them up. They lock up dogs. I think we'll lock them up. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word.